Accused by Jimmy McGovern. Written by Jimmy McGovern. A uniformed prison officer approaches a barred gate in a starkly lit corridor. He unlocks it, then pushes it open. A lean-faced man in his mid-40s sits anxiously in a cell. He has short, dark, receding hair and wears a dark suit with a blue shirt. With an intense stare, he clasps his hands together in front of his mouth. Willie Houlihan looks up as he hears a door opening, then light floods his dim cell. Christopher Eccleston, Pookie Quesnel, Emma Stansfield. He steps out from his cell into the sterile corridor. The officer handcuffs him to his wrist, then escorts him behind a fellow officer who opens another gate for them. Dressed casually in a checked shirt and jeans, Willie's repairing a washing machine in a laundrette when his mobile rings. He glances over at a woman sorting laundry, then stands and steps away from his work to take the call. An auburn-haired woman in a blue vest stands in her kitchen.
I'm telling him tonight.
I'm not leaving him tonight. I'm telling him I'm leaving him.
Right.
You'll tell Carmel you're leaving her?
Yeah.
You'll tell her tonight?
Yeah.
What time?
I don't know.
I thought we could tell him at
the same time. I'll tell Jeff and you tell Carmel at exactly the same time. I could do it that way. If I know you're doing it
too.
Right.
What time?
You choose.
6:30. When the woman says, and now it's time to join the BBC News teams where you are. We tell him then.
Right.
You'll do it?
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Michelle ends the call quickly and puts on a smile as someone unlocks the front door. Willie's dark green works van pulls up in the driveway of an ordinary red brick house on a residential street. W. Houlihan Plumbing and Heating is emblazoned on the side in gold lettering. With a troubled expression, he turns to look across to the house and spots a dark-haired woman tidying up inside a small conservatory. Willie's led by the officer cuffed to his wrist to another gate and the handcuff is released. Willie steps through and walks upstairs on the other side. He rounds a corner and continues up more stairs. Willie emerges in a courtroom's large dock. He sits in the centre at the edge, facing the room, while a prison officer sits in a corner of the dock. Over an evening meal, Willie eyes his arguing sons and wife, Carmel.
He's the best in the world.
He's a scouser.
Everything you look for in a football player, he's got it.
You think any of those scousers are talking like this about any of our lads, right? No, no way.
Tell Carmel you're leaving her.
If you see anything good in any of our lads, we should see it in theirs, right?
He eats quickly with a tense stare.
We could tell him at the same time.
Likely to linger into Sunday. Now, there's a bit of uncertainty about this forecast, so if you are planning something...
You'll tell her tonight.
But the best of the dry, brighter weather, certainly.
And now it's time to join the BBC News teams where you are.
Put the ball away!
Carmel smiles and gestures to a young couple.
Why is it?
We're getting married, Dad.
It's time to join the BBC's news teams where you are. Goodbye.
Stunned, Willie stares at his delighted wife.
If that's okay with you. Yeah, when?
Next month.
Church and all that?
Yeah.
Carmel grins excitedly at her daughter. Willie manages a smile.
I couldn't do it.
Why not?
I'll tell you when we meet.
When we meet?
Did you do it?
Yes.
You told him?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You bastard.
A dark estate car turns off a leafy lane, entering through a smart gateway on a cobbled drive, passing a sign with the letters DGH. It heads towards an attractive black and white Tudor-style building. Inside, a smartly dressed woman shows off a spacious room filled with covered tables.
So, here we go. Not too big, not too small. 8 round tables, 10 per table. And then a long one at the back for bride and groom, parents, bridesmaids, best man. And we can bring some more in the evening.
Lovely.
Laura?
Upstairs at the Crown are doing me,
Dad. Never mind the Crown, what about here?
It's perfect.
How do I pay?
A third now and then the rest on the day.
Check okay?
Yeah.
In a taxi.
What's he do, your dad? Barracks in town? Shop or warehouse?
Both.
He owns it, Dad.
Owns it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not exactly on the bones of his arse, then. No.
It's dusk when the taxi pulls up in a car park outside a restaurant. Willie slides open the side door and they all climb out.
Will you wait for us, please? We'll be 2 minutes.
You're not staying with us?
No, we're going into town.
Inside the stylish restaurant, Joe approaches his parents.
This is my dad, Gordon, and Maeve. Dad and Maeve, this is Willie and Carmel.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
All right, good to meet you. Pleased to meet you.
Hi.
Hi, mate.
Enjoy. See ya.
Enjoy your time. Drink, Carmel?
No, I'll wait for the wine.
Willie?
Scotch. I'm paying, right? I'm paying.
You're
the
not?
Meal. No, I'm definitely paying. I'm paying, so I'll have a scotch. A large one.
Okay.
Later.
I think you're missing the point. When you ask why they're there, when you ask why our young men are there,
and
you're
women.
Missing the point. And women. Women too. They're there to die. They're not there to win. They're not there to gain ground. We're not there to defeat the Taliban. The Yanks will take care of that, thanks very much. We're there to die. To die so the Yanks can say to their people, look, we're not alone. It's not just us, it's the Brits as well. And just imagine, right, just imagine that by some wonderful feat of soldiering, we managed to get through it all without losing a man. Do you think the Yanks would say, well done? No way. They'd say, what the bloody hell do you think you're playing at? You've got to die, you bastards. You've got to die.
Gordon raises his eyebrows casually and sips his wine.
So, have you ever been to Thailand, Carmel?
No, I've always wanted to.
It's lovely.
Yes, everyone says so.
Later, Willie's enjoying a cigarette when Gordon comes out of the restaurant towards him.
Mo sent me.
Mo?
He's the owner. He don't like people smoking near the doorway. Says it lingers.
Right, I'm just finishing now anyway. Just finishing.
Right.
Gordon goes back inside.
Beam me up, Sky.
I agree with the ban. I'm not knocking the ban. But we are a persecuted minority. We really are. I agree with the ban, by the way. But we have to smoke outside and there's no facilities.
I'm getting it.
You won't?
I'm getting it. I've had whiskies and brandies and God knows what, so I'm getting it.
I can afford a few brandies.
I know, but I'm getting it. Now, often you won't find an ashtray.
Thank you.
Or one of them things with sand. No, not quite an ashtray, but anyway, you won't find one of them. Put 10% on, by the way.
Oh, thank you, sir.
So what are you going to do with the stumps? You know, the ciggy stumps? What are you supposed to do with them? You can't just throw them. If you throw them, you know, you're dropping litter and you can be fined. People have been fined for dropping litter and all they've dropped is a ciggy stump. Is there a problem?
I'm afraid your car's been declined.
Oh, shall I have another go?
Yeah, of course.
So the only logical thing to do... it's fine, by the way, there's plenty of money in there. The only logical thing to do is to drop your ciggy stump in a litter bin. Well, what's going to happen then? You know... You drop your ciggy stump in the litter bin and you're starting a fire. So what's worse, dropping a bit of litter, or what constitutes litter, or starting a fire in the middle of town?
Excuse me, sir, I'm afraid your car's been declined again.
There's a problem.
There's a fault, you know, there's money in there. What, a big check in about 4 days ago. No, please.
No, it doesn't matter.
It does matter. It matters because I've been ordering things left, right, and centre, and I only
did that because
I was paying.
It's no problem.
I wouldn't have ordered them if I thought you were paying.
No worries.
So if you
everything's
pay,
fine.
It makes me look like
fine.
A right prick.
Willie,
doesn't
it? It's fine.
Why do you do that?
Hello, my card's just been rejected and it shouldn't have been.
Why do you let your mouth run away like that?
Debit card.
Answer me.
William J. Houlihan. No, don't do that. Don't put me on hold again. They'll think I'm a con man. They'll think I knew the card was going to be rejected.
They'll think no such thing.
They will. She certainly will, the gold digger.
Oh, God's sake, why are you like this?
Say that again.
Indian.
It can't be overdrawn, mate. I put a cheque in 5 days ago for 22 grand, so it can't possibly... Say that again. Tony's cheque bounced. No, nothing. Thank you. Thanks.
He wouldn't do that to us. He wouldn't.
I have to delete messages.
Answer machine. Tony, it's Willie. Sorry to ring so late. Give us a bell as soon as possible.
They're in the back of a taxi, and Carmel stares at Willie in shock as he talks on the phone. The cab pulls up outside their house.
How much is that?
12 quid, love.
There you go. Thanks.
Hi, Jean, it's Willie.
You're right.
I'm fine, love. I need to speak to Tony, it's urgent.
The idea being that if you can't keep out the way you're thinking...
Okay. Did he say where? Okay.
Here.
If you wait for him, tell him to call me back. Tell him it's urgent, thanks. Has anyone been on?
What?
Has anyone been on?
No.
Has Laura phoned?
Off we go then.
What?
Look, I'm sick of repeating every question I ask you. Has Laura been on?
No. You're in the way.
No, every light in this house is burning. Switch them off.
Right.
Now. It's Willie. I'm trying to get in touch with Tony. Phone me back when you get this. Are you having one?
I'll have tea.
Get your mum a cup of tea.
What?
Get your mum a cup of tea, now!
Willie takes his son's place on the sofa.
Tony wouldn't let you down. There'll be a logical explanation.
Mark, it's Willie. Is everything all right with Tony?
Next morning, Willie sets off in his van.
Pick it up, Tony.
You may as well pick up, because I'm coming round anyway. Pick it up, you prick. Pick it up!
Pick it up!
At a new building development, a suited man stares worriedly from the window of a porter cabin. Willie pulls up outside and, consumed with anxiety, the man hurries out to meet him. Willie strides towards him.
What's going on?
I'm finished.
What do you mean you're finished?
I'm wound up, bankrupt.
But what about my money?
Taxman's first, and the VAT. And the bank.
Oh, mugs like me?
I'm sorry, mate.
8 bathrooms.
Look, I did all I could. I'm on fire by now, you know that.
You
I did
let
all
me
I could to
put
on.
8 bathrooms in
Look,
for you.
I did all I could. Look, if there's anything left, I'll see it gets to you, Willie. Willie, you're top of the list. I promise you that, mate. Willie. Oh, no. I'm not letting you do this. I'm not letting you do this, Willie.
Willie has a sledgehammer.
Open the door.
No! I want you to go home, Willie.
I'm
going to
wreck 8 bathrooms.
Talk about
I don't want to wreck 8 doors, but I will if I have to.
It's disgraceful,
so
you, Willie. Okay. Oh, Willie, this is crazy, mate! Hold it anymore, Willie. The bank holds it.
Willie smashes through the door of the new house, then obliterates the bathroom.
Oh, God, Willie, this is crazy, mate! Oh, I'm putting a cock on you, Willie! Stop it! Seriously, Willie! Oh, wait, come on!
He bursts into the next house and does the same. Now, Willie's driving towards the venue for Laura's wedding. The event organiser walks out to his van.
Hello,
Hi. It's a bit awkward, this.
Yeah?
Can I ask you not to pay that check-in?
Oh, we paid it in first thing.
Right.
Is that a problem?
No. Well, slight problem. Nothing that can't be sorted. It's fine. It's fine, love.
So you're still going ahead with...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No problem. Absolutely no problem.
Bye.
Thanks.
Twilight has fallen, and Willie pulls up on a quiet street next to a building site. Nearby, next to a low brick building beneath an electricity pylon, another car's parked. Michelle's sitting in the driving seat waiting for him. He climbs into the passenger side. She stares straight ahead, sadly.
I was going to tell her, and the boys. And just as I was about to do it, Laura walked in with a fella and told us they were getting married. That's exactly the way it was. I promise.
He looks over to her.
When it's over, when the wedding's over and they've got off, I'll tell her then. I'll go home, I'll pack a bag, and I'll pick you up at yours about 7:30. 7:30, night of the wedding.
With tears in her eyes, she looks up, then closes them with an emotional sigh.
You told Jeff?
She nods.
How'd he take it?
He was ecstatic.
She turns to stare at him, revealing her right eye, blackened and swollen, and she holds his gaze for a few moments. Without a word, and with a look of resignation, she gets out of the driver's seat and climbs into the back, removing her coat. He lowers his head for a moment, looking at the floor in sad contemplation, before getting out and joining her in the back. Sitting next to her, he studies her face, then looks away briefly.
Do you want me to sort it?
Yeah. At the house.
He looks deep into her eyes and nods. With tears filling her eyes, she brings him towards her and their lips meet. She climbs astride him, and they kiss more hungrily. Now, Willie's arrived home. Parked outside the house, he opens a can of beer, swigs from it, then rubs a little in his hair. He takes one last hurried mouthful, then in moments, he's climbing into bed with Carmel.
Many in the lion?
There's a few.
I stink of ale.
Sorry.
He slowly rolls away from her and stares up at the ceiling. In the courtroom, Carmel takes her seat in the viewing area, along with Joe, Laura, and the boys. Laura flashes Willie an emotional smile, while the boys just stare at him. In a flashback, he's driving along in his van.
Look, no disrespect, but I'm finding it difficult to understand what you're saying. And I'm finding it difficult to understand why I'm talking to somebody in India when all I want is an appointment with a bank round the corner. So please, please give me the bloody number!
It's gonna be a free bar then?
No way! It's costing a fortune as it is.
You're gonna make people pay for their own drinks?
Nobody has a free bar these days.
They abuse it, make pigs of themselves, throw up.
It's a 4-star hotel. It'll be a fiver a pint.
That's not my fault, is it?
Yeah, but you're asking people to go, right? You're asking people to go to a posh hotel and pay well over the odds for the rail.
Well, they don't have to come.
Of course they have to come, they're your mates.
They'll bring their own in the bags.
Yeah.
He's shoveling food into his mouth.
What are you doing? Willie, what are you doing?
He suddenly stops.
What did you do that for?
He lets the food all flow out of his mouth back into the bowl.
Why did you stuff yourself like that?
Don't know.
They all stare at him as he takes a sip of water. Now, he's sitting in the waiting area of a bank. He notices that at one of the cashier windows, a man is filling a briefcase with thick wads of notes. A grey-haired man in a suit appears.
Mr. Hulan? Hello, Paul. Hi. Do you want to come through?
I paid a big cheque in for 22 grand and it bounced, but you'll know that because you have it all there. Problem is, on the strength of that cheque, I wrote one of my own for eight. And it's
800?
Turn up here. 8 grand. And it's going to turn up here and I want you to honour it.
8,000?
It's for my daughter's wedding. Well, some of it. There's another 12 grand to find once it's over. There's this Western. I think it's a Western, I'm not sure. But this bloke walks into a bank and he asks for a loan. And the banker says to him, what's your collateral? And the bloke says, this is my collateral and this and this. And he gets the loan and he pays it back and I'll pay it back. I know it's not Hollywood, but I'm wasting my breath here, aren't I?
I'm afraid so.
You know it's common decency to look at a man when he's talking to you.
I'm sorry.
Willie gets to his feet.
I've worked my bollocks off all my life, and I'm going to carry on working my bollocks off, and I'm going to put more money in that account than you've ever seen, and then I'm going to come here and I'll close it. And when they ask me why I'm closing it, I'll say, ask that twat there.
In a bar, Willie finishes a pint. Another customer picks up his briefcase and makes his way to the bathroom. It's the man from the bank. And, recognising the case, Willie follows him. In the bathroom, the man's standing at a urinal, his briefcase on the floor beside him. Willie nervously washes his hands and is amazed when the case suddenly appears by the sink next to him. He eyes it longingly. Then another customer comes in. Willie makes his way out of the bar, and when he arrives at his van, he finds he's been given a ticket. Snatching it from the windscreen, he drives off. Now, he's climbing the steps to a council flat. He bangs on the door, and a younger man answers.
I'm Willie Hulahan.
Oh.
You touch her again, I'll kill you.
Having punched Jeff hard in the face, flooring him, Willie looks up to see Michelle standing in the kitchen doorway. Willie pulls into his driveway at home and makes his way into the house. Loud music is coming from upstairs. He heads straight for the whiskey bottle as Carmel comes into the room.
Yes.
What?
Yes, I am starting early.
Phone
her. Who?
Laura!
No.
She's a good kid.
I know.
Turn it down!
She'll be just as happy with upstairs as the Crown.
I know, and that's why she's getting the best. Because she's a good kid who'd be just as happy with upstairs at the Crown. Turn it down!
They'd pay, his parents.
No way.
They wouldn't miss it.
No way.
Phone Laura. Phone her.
Laura and Joe are watching TV on a sofa.
Hello?
Is your dad?
Computer animation shows how polar
ice reflects. How's things?
Fine. You?
Fine. What are you doing?
Just watching telly with Joe. You?
Same. Well, not with Joe, with your mum.
How is she?
She's fine.
Less sunlight gets reflected into space.
Do you love him?
Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The overall temperature and adding energy to a vicious circle.
What's going on?
On August 13th, 2005.
What is it, Dad?
Almost the entire Ailes ice shelf carved from the northern edge of Ailes.
It's the wedding.
What about it?
Over the past century, reducing the remaining ice.
What about it?
Since 1900.
Can I invite your Uncle George?
Of course.
He'll get drunk, pick a fight.
It's a wedding. It's supposed to be a fight.
I'll invite him then.
Right.
Night, love.
Good night.
Carmel snatches the phone from him and marches off.
First data is shown from about the last.
Another day, and Willie's driving along. His van slows to a halt. He's broken down in a derelict, deserted area. On one side is a crumbling tower block, and on another, a fenced-off building site. Across from him is a large Gothic church. Carrying his tool bag over his shoulder, Willie makes his way through the huge, gloomy church and takes a seat on a pew near the altar. Shafts of sunlight break through the tall, narrow windows, and candles have been lit. A priest walks silently and slowly along the aisle towards him.
Hello.
Just browsing, thanks.
Born around the corner. Baptised here. First confession, first Holy Communion. Made the wife promise to have your funeral here.
Yeah.
We'll get a lot like that.
I bet you do.
I want to knock it down. Costs a fortune to run this place.
Oh, it's not yours to knock down, though, is it? It's ours. Poverty-stricken people like my mum and dad pay for this. Poverty-stricken people with their gangs of kids and their halfpennies and pennies. So the least you can do is treat with a bit of respect.
What are you doing here?
I'm doing something I haven't done since I was a kid. I'm making a deal with God. He gets me out of the Hall of Inn, and I give him something back.
Such as?
I don't know. I give up the booze or something.
It's a bit easy, that, though, isn't it? I mean, you've probably wanted to give up the booze for years, just needed a bit of motivation. I don't think God will accept that.
Willie grabs his tool bag and makes to leave.
Give her up.
Who?
The other woman.
Frowning, Willie stares back at him. The priest gets to his feet.
There's always another woman.
Willie makes his way to the back of the church and drops down into another pew. As he rubs his face, the priest approaches him.
Go away. I want to be alone, right? I think I've got a right to a bit of solitude in a church, a bit of peace and quiet, a bit of time to reflect, you know what I mean? So please, do one.
Why are you so aggressive?
Go away.
So aggressive, so tense, so...
fucked up.
Yes?
You married us. Me and the missus, 25 years ago, right there.
Sorry,
that's
I...
That's okay, why should you remember? One couple in thousands.
Yes.
Well, it's the daughter's turn next. She's getting married and I've got to make a speech. I'm thinking of saying, how long before they're sick of each other? This bride and groom, so much in love, how long before she's got a fancy man and he's got a bit on the side? It's a farce, marriage, a total bloody farce. Hands up, all those who agree.
I've seen a lot of good marriages.
A lot more bad ones, though, eh? You see, the thing is, you marry a woman you fancy, but 25 years later, she's old. You don't fancy her anymore. You wouldn't arm an heir on her head, but you don't fancy her anymore. You fancy younger women. Younger women with firmer flesh. And you're getting old yourself. Not far off 50. Last 10 years whizzed by. Next 10 years will go even quicker. Death beckons. So for God's sake, live a bit. Go out and grab a woman. A younger woman. With firmer flesh.
How deep is it?
What?
The hole you're in.
It's bottomless.
Then give her up.
With a brief hesitation, Willie grabs his tool bag and marches out of the church. Now, he's in a cab.
I left it there. I think it's the clutch again. Well, I can't afford to, mate. You know, just weave some of your magic. Right. All right, I'll drop the keys off. Thanks, Frank.
You having problems with your clutch?
What?
Problems with your clutch?
Yeah.
Get rid of it, mate. I'm talking through a bit of experience. Get rid of it, pal.
Willie's found a padded envelope full of money beneath the seat in front of him.
Just here will do, mate.
Sure?
Yeah.
Willie gets out of the cab at an old gasworks.
£6.50, pal.
Cheers, mate. Keep the change.
Oh, cheers, thank you. Cheers, pal.
Willie strides quickly into his road and inside the house. He slips in unnoticed up to the bathroom.
There's a massive difference.
A couple of better shots. What's the difference between a couple of better shots and the both of the weirdos? The both of the sub bastards.
Language.
What's the difference? Why is it okay to work in one way? I just can't understand why you're...
Perched on the edge of the bath, he rifles through the tool bag and pulls out the envelope. He tips the wads of cash onto the bathroom rug. Then he rests his head on his hands, deep in agitated thought. Later, Carmel's sitting at their dressing table. She's gently cleansing her skin with a cotton wool pad. He watches as she wipes moisturizer under her eyes. He's sitting on the edge of the bed, and he reaches for the envelope of money, tipping it out on the covers.
How much?
20,000.
Where
Where'd you get it?
I found it. In a taxi. On the floor of a taxi.
Oh, Willie.
What?
What kind of people leave money like that in a taxi?
I don't know.
Of course you know, it's drug money.
Shh.
Take it to the police.
If it's druggies, they're not going to thank me for taking it to the police, are they?
What kind of taxi?
Minicab. Amiga.
How do you know?
I checked as soon as I found the money.
Take it back to Amiga. Take it back now.
Gets us out of our hole, love.
Oh, for God's sake, Willie, don't even think about it.
She storms out. In the kitchen, she reaches for the whiskey.
You?
No. Giving it a rest for a bit.
She takes a sip.
Where did you get dropped off?
In the taxi.
Yeah.
End of the street.
So he knows what street you live in?
He won't remember that.
He will.
He drops off loads of people on loads of streets.
Losing £20,000 tends to concentrate the mind, Willie.
Lying in bed.
Take it with you. When you leave this house in the morning, you take that money with you.
They both lie on their side of the bed, wide awake and silent. The next day, Willie leaves the house on foot, carrying his tool bag. He arrives at a casino and flicks his cigarette onto the pavement before going inside. A croupier.
All right, Willie.
All right.
Thought you packed it in, mate.
I have, yeah. I want one bet. Red or black.
Yeah?
£20,000.
He tips the money out onto the roulette table. A man has arrived at the house, and Carmel has opened the door.
Has your husband in love?
No.
Where is he?
Work.
Late 40s, early 50s, yeah?
Yeah.
He didn't happen to get out of a taxi at the top of the street, did he, love, sometime yesterday?
I can't afford taxis.
Will he be in tonight?
Yeah.
See you later, then.
When he's gone, Carmel slams the door at the roulette table.
20K. One chip?
Yeah.
The croupier looks for assurance from a colleague.
Place your bets.
Willie places the large round chip onto a red diamond on the table.
$20K, plays red.
Yeah.
A man came round asking questions.
It's something to do with the money.
He's mesmerised by the ball whizzing round the table.
It's all right, love. Everything's okay.
Where are you?
I put it on red. And it came up red.
Carmel looks at the phone with disbelief. At the casino, Willie makes his way to the cashier.
Can you put 20,000 in sweaters in that and give us a plastic bag, please?
Now, Willie arrives at a taxi firm.
Anyone mobile near the high street? Anyone mobile near the high street? Anyone near the bridge?
Hiya.
Yep. Can I help you?
Found that in one of your cabs.
20 grand?
Yeah.
Why didn't you hand it in to the driver?
Don't know.
Why didn't you hand it in yesterday? Last night, even?
I'm handing it in now, right? That's what matters, isn't it?
No. The driver's in hospital. The guy who lost this, he battered him.
I'm sorry.
You prick.
The controller looks at him with disgust. Then her eyes fall on the envelope he's left behind. He has visions of the cabbie being tortured. The cabbie's kicked in the side and left for dead. At court.
All rise.
Willie and the rest of the court get to their feet as the judge, an older man, makes his way to his seat on the bench. He sits, and they all do the same.
Okay, thanks to the bridesmaids, that's lovely.
It's Laura's wedding day, and Willie's having a cigarette, a little way off from where the official photos are being taken. Sitting on a bench, he's about to make a call when a woman takes a seat next to him.
I shall be in that one. The stench of hypocrisy is overwhelming. I'm the groom's mother, by the way. Discarded first wife. Good enough for him while he was struggling, but unsatisfactory once he became a success.
Excuse me, love.
Yeah.
Willie gets up and goes into the function room as he makes his call.
Hiya.
You packed?
Yeah. What time will you get here?
7:30.
Can't wait.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Did you get out of that hole you were in?
Yeah.
And why have you still got her?
Keep your nose out of my business.
Later.
All right, hang on. Best man speech.
A pound per person?
No, it's not a pound per person. It's a pound per guest. Two guesses is £2. Oh, it's from when he stands to when he sits down again.
Stands to when he sits down 5 minutes.
Carmel watches as Willie takes a call.
It's all forged, Willie.
What?
Every single note.
I didn't know, I promise.
I know.
You gonna phone Carmel?
I've got to.
Right.
Thanks. Bye.
The call was from the croupier.
I'm making a deal with God.
I put it on red. Came up red. Guess it's out of our own.
You take that money with
you. Your serial number's not same. They're forged.
So, you met Maeve?
Husband's younger model.
Yeah.
Did she go all feminist?
Once.
She tried it with me once. I said, look, love, you stole an older woman's husband, darling. Where's the sisterhood in that?
Looking lost, Willie gets up from the stool at the bar and makes his way to the head table. He seems distracted as he makes his way back between Maeve and Laura. Carmel notices him as he stares solemnly at his drink.
Ladies and gentlemen, the father of the bride.
Laura applauds happily as Willie gets to his feet. A microphone's handed to him.
Marriage. You see two people in love like that, and you're jealous. One of them's your own daughter, but you're still jealous. Why can't I feel what them two are feeling? Why can't I have some of that?
Thanks.
A police car pulls up outside.
You know, when me and Carmel were first married, we spent many a night huddled beneath the sheets, wrapped in each other's arms. I thought them nights were long gone, but a couple of months ago, we went to Australia to visit Carmel's brother, and he put us up in a muddy, that's a shack in the middle of the bush. Anyway, one night we went out and we got back to the muddy. We switch off the lights and a giant bat circling the room, just waiting to pounce on one little bit of exposed flesh. One little bit of exposed white English flesh and suck it dry. So that was one more night that we spent huddled beneath the sheets, wrapped in each other's arms. It's just a pity that it took a giant blood-sucking bat endlessly circling round the room to make that happen.
The room is aghast, staring at him in shock. He studies their reaction for a moment.
Well, I thought that was funny.
Carmel looks devastated.
John and Laura.
John and Laura.
He knocks back his champagne and shares a look with Carmel before leaving the table. She follows him.
Willie?
Don't go.
You're not serious?
No. You come for Willie Houlihan?
Yeah.
That's me.
What's going on?
I've done nothing wrong.
What's going on?
The money was forged. Look, I didn't forge it, so I've done nothing wrong. I'm going to go with him.
I'm coming with you.
You're not.
I am coming with you.
You are not. This only happened because I wanted to give Laura a good day, so don't you dare spoil it. You go in there, you tell him I've been called out to a job, a burst, an emergency, right? I've done nothing wrong, so I'll be out in no time. I'll be back here in no time, right?
Right.
Go back.
I love you.
He stares at her intensely.
What?
I love you. I love you.
Well, I am your wife.
Confused and angry, she marches back into the reception. Willie's in the back of the squad car.
Found 20 grand in a taxi in Amiga cab. I put it on red, red won, and I give 20 grand back to Amiga.
Of course you did, Willie.
The police drive him into the taxi rank and one of the officers gets out of the car with Willie and accompanies him to the kiosk window. It's the same woman at the controls as when Willie visited there before.
Is this the woman you gave the money to, Willie?
Yeah.
This man says he found £20,000 in one of your taxis and he handed it in here.
I've never seen him before in my life.
Please.
Thanks. Come on.
Look,
I'm sorry
about the driver. I'm really sorry about the driver.
Where to,
please?
Please
tell the truth.
5 or 10 minutes,
please,
OK?
Please tell the truth.
I've never seen you before in my life. Now, I'm sorry, but I'm busy.
You're lying. I give you 20 grand.
Get in the car.
Came here yesterday. Get in the car. 20 grand.
Get in the car.
Get in.
Anyone need the bridge?
It's a perfect way of laundering money, Willie. Red or black, even money. One day you might lose, the next day you'd win. It's perfect.
I found it in a taxi.
Who are you working for?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The driver.
Sorry?
There's an Amiga cab driver in hospital and he's there because I found the money in his taxi and I didn't cough. He'll back up everything I say.
Right.
Willie leans his head back against the back of his seat with exasperation. Now, still in his morning suit complete with rose buttonhole, Willie's sitting in an interview room alone, his hands clasped in front of him on the table and his head hanging deep in thought.
Glaswegian.
Yeah.
45 years old.
About, yeah, I didn't really see his face, he was driving.
Billy Rafferty. He's dead, Willie.
What?
He died last night in hospital.
Do I get a phone call or something?
You can let someone know where you are. Would you like to do that?
Someone?
Yeah.
But just one?
Yeah. Number?
Willie thinks hard. At the wedding, Laura and John are leaving the party, and their guests have come out to wave them off. Laura's helped into the car as John gives his mum a hug.
Come back to you soon. Cheers, everyone.
Willie's making a call. At the reception, his son's phone begins to ring.
Hello? Let me speak to you, mum.
Yep. Hello?
How's it going?
Yeah, fine, they've just got off.
What's happening?
It's not looking too good, love.
Michelle is sitting in her flat with her coat on, a packed suitcase beside her. She leans to look out of the window. Now, she's sitting with Willie in a holding cell.
Sorry.
Couldn't you have let me know?
How?
Phone!
I couldn't. They only allow you on call.
They allowed you on call? They allowed you one phone call?
Yeah.
Who'd you phone?
Carmel.
Michelle's face hardens as she takes in his words. Having knocked on the door, she's allowed out. In the courtroom, the jury slowly files back in. From his seat in the dock, Willie watches them with an anxious expression. He glances over at his family as the jurors take their seats. Sometime before, Carmel's sitting in the holding cell while he leans against the wall. He's looking away from her, jacket off, sleeves rolled up.
If they find you guilty, what'll you get? What'll you get?
He was trying to prepare me for the worst, so he gave me the worst case scenario. It's not necessary.
What'll you get?
About 5 or 6 years.
Willie watches the jurors with a heavy heart.
I can't do without you for 5 or 6 weeks, never mind 5 or 6 years.
Look, I'm not guilty, right? I've done nothing wrong, so they'll find me not guilty.
What about you? Can you do without me?
Truth?
Yeah.
I thought I could once. but I was wrong. I'm not guilty, so it's not going to happen.
He goes over and holds her close. Fear floods her face as she rests against his shoulder. The last of the jurors take their seats, and Laura swallows hard before looking over at her dad. Michelle is sitting a few rows behind the hooligans. Willie glances round to find the priest sitting in the visitors' area, and their eyes meet.
Members of the jury, are you agreed upon a verdict?
We are.
Do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty of the passing of counterfeit money?
Guilty.
And that is the verdict of you all?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson.
Your Honor, my client is a man of impeccable character, a loving husband and father. He has never been in trouble before. No criminal record whatsoever. He left school at 16, served his apprenticeship, set up his own company, and has not missed a single day's work in his life. He has been married for 25 years, Your Honor, to his wife Carmel, and she is here supporting him today. A truly loving and stable relationship. They have three children, a young woman of 23 years of age, very recently married, with all that that implies in terms of financial and emotional stress, and two teenage sons. All three are of impeccable character.
Having clasped her mother's hand, Laura notices Willie staring behind them. She looks back to see Michelle, and realization sinks in. Carmel notices the exchange and looks back to find Michelle nodding to her.
I would beg you, Your Honor, to show as much leniency as possible in this case.
Trembling with rage and emotion, Carmel glares at him for a moment. He mouths, "I love you," but she gets to her feet and storms out of the courtroom, leaving Laura in floods of tears.
These two events were costly. My client found himself in desperate need of money because he wanted to do his best for his wife and his family. Whatever he did, Your Honor, he did it for people he loved.
Thank you.
A tear rolls down one of his son's cheeks.
William Houlihan, you will go to prison for 6 years.
Joe holds Laura closely as she sobs, and Willie leans forward in the dock, leaning his mouth on his hands.
Jamie McGavin's Accused returns with a new story next Monday night here on BBC One and BBC One HD. A taste of coming up.